So this is the beginning of Book A, capital A, which starts in April 1960 and is the first entry after reaching Wisconsin from the University of Toronto. It picks up on the same problem or same task of making haptoglobin, starting with again the pooling of blood, which proved in the end to be a mistake, with 6 bottles of plasma from the blood bank. And as it happened, there were four types of the haptoglobin that we knew at that time in these samples. 1-1, well, not all of them, 1-1, 2-1 modified, as we called it, and 2-2. And the next few pages are just concerned with following the purification images of the starting plasma and so on and so forth. Already beginning to interact with the geneticists in Wisconsin, because here on page 5, April 5th, is a sample from Klaus Petau and Dr. Uchida, Petau and Uchida, that had extra chromosomes. The father and the mother and the baby of the one family, and the baby and mother and father of the other family. And only the baby, only one of the baby, appears unusual in having a comparatively large amount of benzidine reacting material between free hemoglobin and HB11. I thought perhaps it might be a fetal hemoglobin. I'm repeating the samples again on December, on April 6th, and staining with benzidine and so on and so forth. I was looking at the precipitates material that appeared on the plasma preparation. The wash precipitates from Tuesday and the 2 unwashed ones for Wednesday were suspended in water, etc., etc., and looked at them. Not at this clear point, very clear what was being found out. Rather ambiguous result. HP2 appears to be present in the first and second unwashed crop, but not clearly in any other, etc., etc., on page 11. More looking at the samples, comparing the supernatants with the whole and different parts of the fractionation of the samples. Thursday, April 7th, a rough pH 4.9 test and repeat of the baby well sample, looking to purify the haptoglobin again. Bright yellow precipitate. Nothing very remarkable, just working at the purification on April 8th and 9th. And continuing in the next few days. Beginning to do the deionization on Monday, April 11th, using the Dowix resins instead of dialysis. And absorption onto DEAE, which is what I was using, or going to use anyway, as the method of purification. A rough trial on page 25. 50 mils of the deionized pH 4.9 to 4.3 plasma extracted with the DEAE and diluted with 0.15 molar sodium chloride, and the results show that clearly the haptoglobin is now being recovered, though not completely pure, of course. Repeat on the larger scale, but acidify in one step and deionize immediately, that type of comment. Continue with the purification on April 1st. Getting fractions from the DAE elution now, and in a larger scale, and saving the different fractions. Nothing very remarkable. Wednesday, April 13th, quite a nice gel showing that the purification is coming along well. Type some plasma from bottle on April 13th. Continuing with the purification, getting larger scale here on April 14th, 2 grams of DEAE now. The fractions on page 37, they look bad, and there's a note that none were kept. Recovering the material on the 14th of April, continuing purification, nothing very remarkable. A more extensive a test on April 18th, analysis followed. Some samples to type on April 18th, and so we go. Nothing at all remarkable in any of this. An interpretive graph on April 19th on page 52, suggesting that all of the usual haptoglobin comes off at a certain concentration of in certain fractions of the elution from DEA, just documenting what we've already shown in the gel. Continuing purifying material. Again, pages of the same general type and diagrams of the elution pattern. Higher pH tests, April 22nd. Cold room tests, and so on and so forth. Nothing very remarkable or particularly exciting, just the ordinary sort of experiments that have to be done to make a method reproducible and obtain the product. Trying a different adsorbent here. Ectiola, which is a derivative of DAE, with a comment on the DAE on April 29th. With some comments on the pH, but it was not it was in a danger region for denaturing haptoglobin, but in the elution, but the protein had already eluted, so it was not very significant. Trying Actiola on page 79. Trying a Cefadex column, slight fractionation, very slight fractionation, could be used if necessary, but better try chromatography with DAE and Actiola fully first. So just an attempt to get a separation by partition chromatography. Page 85 rather, or 84 rather, pretty diagram of pH and the conductivity of the tip I used to follow, where the salt came out, with lots of points and rather funny shaped curves, and the protein elution pattern to go with it. Continuing Actiola experiments. Page 87. With a repeat here and the comment of two Actiola experiments, if anything worse than previous, return to DAE if necessary, sharpen the gradient. So Actiola didn't look very promising. And then and in the following pages, a fairly big experiment with DEA cells, and a careful following of the pH, and with many, many points, and the conductivity as judged by current in the tip that I used at the bottom of the column. Trying an ammonium acetate column on May 6th. It looks quite good. In fact, as judged by the gel on page 97, seeing essentially 100% hemoglobin, haptoglobin and haptoglobin underlined, and there's a rather nice gel result, and with a comment that a very long column would even pull out hemoglobin, haptoglobin from haptoglobin. It's a quite pleasing result on page 97. So more tests of the same sort with acetate and elution with ammonium acetate on page 99. The advantage I remember realizing of using the ammonium salts was that later on we could get rid of them just by freeze drying or something of that sort, because ammonium acetate is basically a volatile salt. So here on Friday, May 6th, an acetate test again with fresh DEAE acetate, pH 4.6, etc., and eluting with ammonium acetate instead of with sodium chloride. Mm-hmm. with a, but the result was not all that pleasing. It's commented on page 101. Hemoglobin, haptoglobin separating from haptoglobin is much better, but not from albumin. The separation from albumin was very poor. So trying to improve on that, not doing very well in the following pages. 105, for example, shows albumin along with the haptoglobin. That's page 105. Calibration curves, nothing remarkable, just straightforward, trying to improve on the method. Here we are in May. More impurities and no haptoglobin on page 119. With the comments on the recent preparation on page 123. Essentially the same type of elution with distilled water and ammonium acetate and etc. etc. Rather pleased with the gel on page 127. No, I guess not very pleased. It's just a check mark that the result is not all that good. As shown on page 129, results are again poor. Test of a longer column with a comment, very good. And all sorts of graphs of pH and conductivity. But the gels on page 135 are disappointing. Little separation. 135. More pages of the same type. Continuing. Repeating the experiment with small variation. With the things like making a column with a delay section of, due to Cefadex, etc. Nothing very remarkable. Although I was evidently rather pleased on page 147, very good. The back is probably sharp, try a gradient, etc. And the haptoglobin is pretty pure on that, so that's a rough test with Cefadex delay section, starting on page 145 and ending on 147. Continuing with this general idea, a longer Cefadex test on page 155 and a graph showing where the hemoglobin and haptoglobin came out, where the haptoglobin came out and where the impurities came out. With the final comment on the last page of the book, the results are essentially the same as page 143, therefore abandon Cefadex delay and try lengthening the column, etc. And so ends book A.